And so you've seen one of the verses that I've chosen. That's one of the versions. And in Jeremiah it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man or person according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah also said, mine eyes are upon all their ways. They have not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Jeremiah again in chapter 23. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. For the Lord sees not as man sees. And tonight God is looking into every single heart, not just here at Fetcham, but at the whole wide world. You see, God is omnipresent, a big word, but he's everywhere at once. We can't understand that. We can communicate with one another with all our mobile phones and tweeting and all sorts of things today, but God doesn't need that. He looks down from the heights of his sanctuary and sees our hearts, our thoughts. He knows our ways. So what's the condition of your heart, your soul? Not the organ beating within inside you, but the real you. Have you yet accepted Jesus Christ to be your personal saviour? You see, God in the Bible says many things about the heart. I've just noted two or three for us to hear this evening. If I said to you, you're a sinner, you might be offended. But when God says things, we must listen to what he has to say. So all I do is repeat what God has said in his word, because God is seeking your heart tonight. What's he say about the heart, the soul? He said, above all things, it's desperately wicked. Now that's pretty rough, isn't it? But God has said it. Desperately wicked. The psalmist said, the heart is proud. It's lifted up. It's puffed up. It thinks it's best. Ezekiel said the heart is stony. It's hard. And perhaps some have heard the gospel perhaps for many years, and they become hardened to the message. Yes, they hear it and they listen to it and they nod their head, but there's to be no change in the heart. And God says, I want to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's broken down. And God says in his word, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, like a fire that penetrates? Perhaps someone needs that shaken up by the Holy Spirit of God tonight to repent and turn to Christ. But it gets worse. He said, the heart is foolish, said the wise king before he became unwise, if that's correctly, grammatically. Solomon said, the heart is foolish. David said in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or no God for me. And in the world today, there are many saying, there is no God. He doesn't exist. But the Bible tells me he does. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he gave his son to be my saviour and your saviour. Another writer in the Bible said, the heart is not right in the eyes of the Lord. What's the condition of your heart spiritually this evening? So what is God prepared to give in place of those things? The proud heart, the stony heart, the foolish heart, the wicked heart. God's prepared to give a new heart, a clean heart. We read in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How does that happen? By the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, no other person, no other gospel, but it's Christ. He is the way, he's the truth. He shed his blood, and his blood can cleanse your heart and soul and make you have peace with God, eternal life, and a home in heaven. But the wonderful thing, it cannot be purchased. You see, if it could be purchased, then only rich people would be able to get it. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Doesn't matter what age you are, how old or how young you are, what education you had or not. God loves every one of you. Jesus died for every one of you. But there's an urgency to the gospel. I hope you recognize that. We mentioned in prayer, Hosea, 2,800 years ago, said it's time to seek the Lord. The clock is ticking round. Every second that goes by is now history. Sometimes a person will go out into eternity in the next second. 250 people pass into eternity every day in London. Isn't that shocking? It could be any one of us. That's why God said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This church doesn't come to entertain people. It comes to tell them about the love of God and the necessity to put your life right with God by repenting of your sin and asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you, believing that he died for you personally upon the cross. You see, it wasn't just the death of Christ that was necessary, but the resurrection too. This is often forgotten about. Paul writes in the church in Corinth says, if Christ be not risen, we're still in our sins. We're all people most miserable, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We must believe in the death and the resurrection and the soon return of the Lord Jesus from heaven. That's why the message is urgent. Seek the Lord, said Isaiah, that he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's not nearer than now than he is right at this moment of time. The Lord Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. He's paid the price for your sin. And God has been completely satisfied with what Jesus Christ, his Son, has done upon the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ is finished, his death upon the cross was made available to each one of us, and by faith we receive him to be our Saviour. God was satisfied with the death of his Son. You see, God's judgment was on his Son for your sin, and for my sin, and for the sin of the world. But many people are saying, I'm a good person, and we hear that so much. I work in the prison system, not as an officer anymore, but as a civilian now. And the number of prisoners that tell me, it wasn't me, Gov. I didn't do it wrong. It was him. Always putting the blame on someone else. We think something of the Old Testament, who put the blame on someone else. You see, we must take responsibility for our sin, for my sin. And the poet says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is now to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. So what about the good things we do? You see, God has an answer to every question that we have in trying to oppose the gospel or his word. If we say we're good enough, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness we've done, but by his mercy he saves us. There is none righteous, no, not one. You see, God has all the answers to all the questions that are already in the word of God. There are over 43,000 verses in the Bible speaking about the Lord and his word. And again, God emphasizes the love of his beloved Son for you and for me. Many churches will preach many things. But let me tell you this evening, there's salvation only in Christ. Only in him. How do I find that? It's in the Bible. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Why is this necessary? You won't go to heaven without salvation. There's no other way. You've got to come by God's way, God's plan. And God's plan was Jesus Christ, who loved you and loved me. The Apostle Paul said, he loved me and he gave himself for me. That man Saul on the Damascus Road, going to hurt the Christians in Damascus. But Jesus shone into his very heart. From heaven itself, the risen Christ from glory shone into his heart. He said, Lord, what do you have me to do? He repented on that road, turned himself right around and was used of God in a mighty way. You see, he was almost there at his destination, but the Lord Jesus came into his life. Perhaps you need to be shaken up this evening. Perhaps you've come week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and you've heard this wonderful message that God loves you. But tonight, you must make a choice. We've been praying for you during the week. We want your soul to be right with God. Nothing I can do. Nothing anyone else can do. It's between you and your Creator. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And in your right spirit within me. And God looks at the repentant sinner through the person of the Lord Jesus and sees us clean, sees us purified, sees us cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the mediator between God and men, said the Bible, the man, Christ Jesus. He came between God and sinful man, and we'll hear more about that in just a moment. So where did it all go wrong? Where did it all start? If you've been to Sunday school Bible class, you will know. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Adam and Eve heard God's clear command. You will not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Death will come if you do. They heard the voice of God. But they were resistant and disobeyed the voice of God. They were rebellious. They were disobedient. That's what sin is. Look at the word disobedience, young people, and you find the word sin, S-I-N, in that word. Eve saw the tree was pleasant to the eyes. It would make one wise to become as gods, as she was told. She saw, she took, she ate, she gave to Adam, and he too ate. And they're both in the transgression, in the sin. At that moment they took of that fruit, their eyes were opened, spiritually opened, and they saw for the first time their own nakedness. It didn't matter before because in a place which God had made, but now because of sin, they were exposed physically and spiritually. And they tried in vain to cover themselves, didn't they, with those fig leaves. It was useless. It was futile. You see, we can't cover our sin. God sees us. They tried to hide. And God asked a question, Adam, where are you? Now, we said a moment ago, God is omnipresent. Everyone, did he need to ask? Yes, he did. He wanted an admission of their sin as they tried to hide amongst the trees in the Garden of Eden. God saw them clearly. You see, he sees, he knows each one of us. He looked through and saw their wickedness and their sin. Adam was now in terror because of sin had entered the perfect garden. He said, I was afraid because I was naked. Those words had never been heard before. There was no fear. There was no nakedness that mattered. It had never been an issue before, but because of sin, it had exposed. So said Adam, I hid myself. You see, sin had exposed him before mighty God. And God says, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? He had to admit that he had. Now we have the blame culture, like the prisoners in the prison. Adam tried to blame Eve. Eve tried to blame the serpent. All three were under the curse because sin had entered. Sin's a terrible thing, you know. All unrighteousness is sin. Wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong deeds, they're sin. All started there in that perfect garden. So what hope is there for any one of us if sin is so awful? That's where the Lord Jesus came in. God's eternal plan was that he would send his son. And before the ages began, he had planned a way of salvation, a way of deliverance, a way of freedom for the sinner to come back to God. Remember, they tried to cover themselves with those fig leaves, but God covered them with skins. A sacrifice had to be made. Blood had to be shed, and he covered them. That shows the love and compassion of God. But sin must still be dealt with. They must be still put out of that garden. And that angel stood in the way of the garden to stop them coming back and living forever. You see, death did come. Adam died. Eve died. Because sin brings death. For the wages of sin is death. But God's wonderful but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Adam, he sinned, and it's passed upon everyone. It's regretful, but it's true. As in Adam, all die. Death comes because of sin. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And if you want Jesus Christ in your life tonight, you can take him right now and he'll give you a new life, a clean heart, a cleansed heart, a redeemed heart, a heart that is ready for eternity with the Lord. I can't do it. Your friend can't do it. It's a matter between you and God. Because he's looking down, as it were, with his periscope, his eye upon every heart. The Lord sees not as man sees. The Lord looks on your heart, your soul this evening. You see, God doesn't need human inventions to see us, because he's God. So Adam, although he didn't die at the moment that he ate, death came, separation came, the way was stopped from him coming back. And sin has separated us from God, who loves us. And that's where Jesus came, to bring a new and living way, to bring the only way back to God. So God clothed them, and a sacrifice had to be made. The first blood was shed. It must have hurt the heart of God as he slew those animals to give them clothing. But God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. And was God still looking down on the earth after that happened? Yes, he was. If you go to Genesis chapter 6, he looked down. Has sin still with us? Yes, it is. He looked down and he saw wickedness was great in the earth, full of corruption and violence. Is it still happening today? Yes, it does, because sin has passed upon all. Remember Noah and the flood? God said to Noah, make me an ark. Because God looked down and saw Noah in grace. Noah lived a life which was righteous. Yes, he was still a sinner, even when he went into the ark, when he came out. But God showed grace to him because his life was in touch with God. And the Lord Jesus said, well, here upon earth, as in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Violence and corruption and sin. But Noah found grace. What a wonderful word that is. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. We sung this morning in our morning service, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And the person who wrote that was a slave trader, a man of much hatred in his heart until God changed him. And so he said, it's an amazing grace that saved a wretch like him. Perhaps we can put ourselves in that situation. And the ark that Noah made, to me, it's a real picture of the Lord Jesus. It's a place of safety. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of life. And in the side of that door, the ark was a door, and there was one door. The Lord Jesus is the one door into heaven. Interesting, in the book of Genesis, it says that God shut the door. It wasn't Noah that pulled it shut. You see, God had the final say. He shut the door, he sealed the door, and no waters could ever get in. Now, I've been a carpenter for many years, and every door that I've hung, there's a gap around the outside, and water could come through it. But when God seals something, it's sealed permanently. God has everything exactly right because he's a holy God. And God shut that door and he sealed the door for their safety, and his floodwaters of judgment could not come into that ark. They were safe and secure. And they had life while they're in the ark. And for a year it went on the waters, we know. Everything outside the ark perished that had the breath of life. Absolutely everything. Because sin must be dealt with. You see, God could have He cursed the earth anyway, but he could have wiped off everything and there'd be nothing left. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How wonderful. And as Noah sent the dove and the raven out, the raven, you know, went out, a carnivorous bird, he never came back. Plenty of meat to eat outside. Death everywhere. But the dove came back. Found no place to rest for her feet. But when the ark rested on Mount Ararat, the doors were opened. A man came out, and there was the rainbow, reminding us and Noah of God's promise, God's covenant, that he would never ever flood the earth by water again. You see, God is a God of love and of grace and mercy. Interestingly, I only noticed it recently, God said to Noah, come into the ark, as though God was inside. It was an invitation to come into a place of safety. Now, if you're not a Christian here tonight, not a believer, you're in a place of grave danger. And the call of the Lord Jesus is still the same. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. There is one door, one way, one Saviour, one salvation. It is in Christ and Christ alone. I do get distressed when I hear people say that they were born Christians. That's very sad. I was born a sinner, and I know it, and you should recognize it too. Yes, you may have been born into a Christian life or experience, a home, and people who love the Lord, but it's a matter between you and God this evening, between you and your Creator. He loves you. Jesus died for you upon the cross, and it's your response that God wants to hear tonight. He wants you to be saved, to have peace with God, to have a clean heart, a purified heart, a heart that's been washed through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I don't understand how it happens, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin, past, present and future. Isn't that wonderful? All sin. All have sinned, and all my sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me upon the cross. Genesis 22, you can read the story. Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain to the altar of sacrifice. They've got the fire, they've got the wood. Young Isaac said to his dad, "Dad, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering." That's all we hear Isaac say. Isaac was tied up, put upon the altar. And then an angel called out of heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand upon the lad, for now I know that you fear God." There in the time of the evening sacrifice, the knife was coming down into the very heart of young Isaac, but God stopped that. Abraham looked behind him, and there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and that ram became the substitute in the place of young Isaac. Jesus has become my substitute, stood in my place. The hymn writer says, "In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood." And the believers say, "Hallelujah, what a Saviour. He stood in your place. He died in your place upon the cross. He shed his blood that you might be free from the burden of sin." So why doesn't God force you to become a Christian, a believer? There in the Garden of Eden, he gave man a free choice. And man chose the wrong choice. Gives man a free will to say yes or no. God doesn't force himself on anyone. But he pleads with you to repent and believe the gospel. You've got to make your own choice. You can't go to a priest, to a holy man, travel around the world to be saved. You can be saved in your chair right now. That's the love of God. Meets you in your deepest need exactly where you are. We spoke earlier about a proud heart, a stony heart, an unrepentant heart. How's the condition of your heart tonight? We're a body, soul and spirit, we know. And the soul will go back to be with the Lord, to be with God. And God will make the final judgment. If you've been cleaned by the blood of Jesus, you'll enter into the very presence of God. If not, you know the other place. You see, God has already issued the statement, his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus, will be the judge of all the earth. And the charge will be one of unbelief. Unbelief, that's all it is. I reject Jesus Christ. There's no sitting on the fence, there is no fence. You cannot compromise with God. He said, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There are many religions in the world, all trying to reach up to a God somewhere. Often a God of their own making, perhaps of stone or food or other things. But the Christian is a life of faith. It's not a religion. It's a belief in a person. And God has said through the Bible that God looked down and he sent down and he gave down his beloved Son. Everyone else is reaching up, but God reached down because we couldn't do anything for ourselves. And Jesus came to the cross and died for you and died for me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin in his body on the tree. Are you starting to love Jesus for what he's done for you? Or is your heart still stony and hard? There are young people here. You've got a whole life in front of you, God willing. You must give it to Christ while you're young. And have all of your life to serve him. If you're older, perhaps the years have gone by. You need to receive him while you have time and opportunity. We can't boast about tomorrow. The Bible says we don't know what a day will bring. That's why there's an urgency about the gospel tonight. Remember the story, perhaps, of Joshua in the Old Testament? They took Jericho, that great city, and they were told, you'll take the city and destroy everything in the city. Nothing is to be left. And so they took the city under the hand of God. But a man called Achan, he took something that didn't belong to him. And he hid in his tent gold and silver and a wonderful garment. The next city was Ai, only a small place. And they didn't ask God for permission to go. Quite over 30 Israelites were killed as they were chased back down the hill. So Joshua went to God and he complained. God said, there's sin in the camp. One person has sinned. They made an investigation and they found out that Achan had sinned. They rushed to his tent and they found he'd buried these things. The wages of sin is death. And it came to Achan that day. You see, God saw. God looked down. God knew the intent of Achan's heart. And he and his family perished. You see, sin is abhorrent to God. Sin is an awful thing. But Jesus has come to deal with that sin of yours and mine when he went to the cross for me. Luke chapter 12, we read it earlier. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Achan was shown up. He was found out. And death came to him. As we move in the New Testament in the last few moments that we have together, the Lord Jesus is now upon earth. And as people came in to him with all their questions, Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus perceived their wickedness. Jesus knew what was in man. And he knows what's in our heart now. There is nothing hid from him. Perhaps there's something in your life that needs exposing by the Holy Spirit of God. Perhaps you are a believer here tonight and there's something which is personal to you, which you know is wrong, but God knows about it. 1 John 1 tells us this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if you are an unbeliever tonight, is God speaking to your heart? Do you want to become a believer in Jesus Christ tonight? Our prayer is that you will do. Not to please us, to please the church or please anyone else, but to please God because he sent his son. He's done the great work. Jesus has done everything for your salvation. You haven't got to go anywhere, pay anything. He's done it all. All he's asking you is to repent. A change of mind leading to a change of direction. Say, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. I want to be saved. I want my sins cleansed. I want it now. Because I want to go to heaven. And God, you love me. And you sent Jesus for me. Thank you, Lord, for that. Can you say as we sung, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole or complete. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and for me. Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Say that in your own heart right now. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God couldn't do any more. He's provided the way of salvation, the way of peace with God. For the Lord doesn't see as man sees. The Lord looks on your heart. You say, well, how do I become a Christian? We repeated those words from Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'll say them slowly. if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can't see the Lord Jesus Christ, but by faith we know that he's alive. We know by faith that he died upon the cross for you, and by faith we know he's coming back. If he comes back tonight, world events are changing so rapidly. The day of grace of God's favour is coming to a close so rapidly. God wants you to repent and do it before it's ever too late. We're going to have a word of prayer now. Then we'll sing a couple of verses of a last hymn, and then the meeting is over. But please don't go home without being saved. Please don't leave without knowing your sins have been forgiven, that you now have peace with God. Just bow in prayer.